First, I want to get rid of this. Because I'm not that tall. Well, good morning and happy Mother's Day. Are there any moms left in the room now that all the kids have left too? All the moms again, let me see your hands. Just a few left. Well, I'm excited because this is my first Mother's Day, so that's exciting. Yay! And we're hoping beyond all hope that Abby will be good for Daddy today. This is Daddy's first time to sit with her through the service, so if you hear screaming, it's because it's Daddy. Okay, why don't we just pray before we start this morning? Father God, I thank you so much for your love and your grace. God, we thank you that you are a God who hears us. You are a God that gives us all that we need. And God, I pray now as we just open your word and we spend some time with you this morning, that you would open our eyes and our ears to see and to hear what you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. February 18th, 2008, last year, started out like any other day for Sherman and I. It was a Monday, a beautiful sunny Monday. And both Sherman and I take the day off on Monday. Well, I take every day off now. But at that time, I had Mondays off too. And so we decided, because we were so burdened with the pressures of life and we had decisions we needed to make and we were feeling really stressed out, that when we saw the beautiful sun, that we were just going to take off for the day and have a day of fun in the sun. We wanted to put all our troubles behind us for the day, forget everything that was going on, and just spend the day focusing on just having some fun and being together and forgetting life in general. Well, God had other plans that day, as he usually does. But we went out with good intentions. I grabbed my camera and we headed out to Abbotsford. Now, I know Abbotsford doesn't sound like much fun to you people. That's okay. But Abbotsford is very country, and the mountains are beautiful out in Abbotsford. And it was sunny, so it was a good place for my camera, okay? I'm justifying Abbotsford. But we headed out to Abbotsford. We have a favorite place that we brunch in Abbotsford. We had brunch. And then we decided we'd drive down some of the country roads to see if I could find a good place where the trees were just right with Mount Baker in the back and get some pictures. So off we drove. And as we were driving, and I think Sherman's told this story before, but as we were driving, I saw in the distance a little homeless man, a little old homeless man, pushing a shopping cart like they often do. And on the top of all his worldly possessions in the cart was a little dog. And I thought that was strange, seeing this homeless man with a little dog. You don't often see them with anything else they have to feed. They struggle to feed themselves. So I commented to Sherman as we drove past, oh, look at the little dog. And as I said those words to him, the dog and the shopping cart fell down into this huge ditch that was on the side of the road. Well, without even thinking, we pulled the car over, and Sherman jumped out, and he ran back to see if he could help this poor man get all of his possessions back up on the street. And I stayed at the car, not really sure that I could be of any help. I just stayed at the car and watched for a minute. And while I stood there watching them, I noticed that there was a business right across the street, and a few of the gentlemen that worked there had come out to watch everything that was going on. They were big. Burley was a mechanical shop of some kind, so they were big, strong guys. It was obvious just looking at them that if they wanted to, they could have helped. But they didn't. They just stood and watched. Well, that made me feel very guilty standing there watching. So I decided I didn't want to be another onlooker. I wanted to go help too. I didn't know what help I could give, but I wanted to help too. So I ran down, and between the three of us, we managed, after several attempts, to get his cart back up on the road and the little dog safely back up on the road and all of this man's worldly possessions. And when we were done and we got them all back into the cart for him, he looked at us with tears in his eyes and he said, "Thank you." And then he, "God bless," he said, and he turned and he walked away. Well, obviously, the day of fun in the sun that Sherman and I had planned took a very drastic turn at that moment. It was a very humbling experience, very Samaritan-like. Suddenly, we felt like the Good Samaritan on the side of the road, and we had been disgusted with all the people that had driven by, and of course, they slowed down to see what was happening, and the people that just stood and watched. So when we got back in the car, suddenly our desire to frolic in the grass seemed very silly in light of all that. And we both felt that we needed to go to some place quiet where we could just kind of absorb what had happened and kind of take it all in. And both of us at the same time had the thought to go to the Westminster Abbey. Have any of you here been to the Abbey at all? Anyone? Just one person? I highly, highly, highly recommend this place. It's absolutely beautiful. It's just outside of Abbotsford in Mission. It's up on a very high hill. It's a working abbey, so there are monks that live there and worship there, and it's absolutely amazing. It's very simple in its lifestyle, obviously, because they have taken that vow. But the sanctuary is all concrete, with the exception of the windows, which are beautiful stained glass windows. It's an absolutely amazing place to be. And if ever you need a place just to be quiet and to literally be in the Lord's presence, it's a perfect place to go. And so after our Samaritan experience, it seemed like the logical place for us to go. So we took off to the abbey, and I had never been. Sherman had been before, but I had never been. And it turned out to be a beautiful place for my camera. I should have brought some pictures, because the sun in the stained glass windows was absolutely amazing, and I'm grateful because we have pictures of that day now. But we walked into that sanctuary, and I was breathless when we walked in. You can feel the holiness of that place. You could feel that God is there. It's very quiet. They ask you to be very quiet. There was no one there when we went in. The sun was streaming through these beautiful stained glass windows. And the sanctuary itself is very simple. The pews, in fact, I don't even remember pews. It's just chairs, isn't it, Sherman? Very simple. And up at the front, there isn't much of a stage. There's just a simple wooden table with a cup and a bowl meant for their communion and a few candlesticks. But aside from that, it is very, very simple. There's no way to get absorbed in the beauty and the majesty of it. It's a very simple, holy place. And we both were completely overwhelmed when we walked in. And of course, that meant that the minute we walked in, all of those things that we were carrying on our shoulders came in with us. All of the things that we were hoping to run away from that day hit us right in the forehead. And so both of us, as we walked around separately, spent some time just absorbing the scenery, but also spending some time with the Lord. Sherman went off in a quiet space, and he just sat and thought and prayed, and I did the same. And as I sat there, I didn't know what Sherman was dealing with. I knew some of the things that he was going through with the stress of ministry and everything, but I knew that I had things that were weighing on my soul. And so I sat, and I just started to pour those things out to the Lord. The decisions that I had to make about my job. I'd been there for 13 years, and do I still want to be there? Is there room in ministry for me there anymore? And, you know, Sherman's here at the church now. Should we be closer to the church? And we would like to have a family, but we've been married for, at that point, 10 years, and nothing. Well, should we adopt? And all these questions were roaming around in my head. And obviously, me being human, trying to take control of these things, saying, okay, God, this is what I want. You know, this is how I want it to look. This is exactly how I want it to go. What are you going to do about that? And as I sat and just was still in the presence of that beautiful place, the Lord began to speak to my heart. And he said, as clear as I am speaking to you now, let it go. And I remember sitting there and kind of chuckled to myself. I'm like, let it go? What kind of an answer is that? That's not the answer I'm wanting. I want to know if I'm supposed to leave my job. I want to know if I'm supposed to move. I want to know if we should adopt or if we should continue trying to have a baby. I want to know. But God said to me, no, let it go. I'm like, let it go. God, what kind of an answer is that? And I was angry with him. That is not an answer. I want answers now. No, sorry, let it go and let me be God. So it took me a few minutes to understand that, to accept that. Trust is a hard thing. But I finally did let it go. I said, okay, God, do you want me to let it go? I'm going to let it go. And I let it go. And I sat there, and an amazing sense of peace washed over me. The Bible calls it a peace that passes all understanding. It's true. It passes all understanding. I sat there completely filled with peace, and a joy washed over me, knowing that, okay, I don't have the answers. I know he does, and he's in control. So I'm going to let it go. And we walked out of that place that day having unburdened our souls, feeling lighter, feeling joyful. There's a spring in our step and a smile on our faces that hadn't been there when we walked in. And we went home. Well, I'm going to leave the story right there because there is more, but I'll share it at the end. This story, though, is a lot like the story of Hannah in the Bible. Hannah, too, was a woman with deep desires and longings in her heart. And Hannah, too, had come to a place where she couldn't take it anymore. And she cried out to God, and asked him to help her. So I'd like you to open your Bibles this morning to 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we'll read the story of Hannah together. First Samuel chapter 1, verse 1, and I am afraid I'm probably going to butcher all the names at the beginning of this passage, but we'll muddle through. There was a certain man from Ramathan, a Zephite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zephu, the son of an Ephraimite. He had two wives. One was called Hannah, and the other Penina. We think Sherb and I decided that's how we pronounce her name, so Penina it is. Penina had three children, and Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Penina and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival, Penina, kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, "O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, "How long will you keep getting drunk? Get rid of your wine." "Not so, my lord," Hannah replied. "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked for of him." She said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." Then she went her way and ate something, her face no longer downcast. Early the next morning they arose and worshipped before the Lord, and then went back to their home in Ramah. Elkanah lay with Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." When the man Elkanah went with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, "After the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always." "Do what seems best to you," Elkanah, her husband, told her. "Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word." So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. When they had slaughtered the bull, they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, "As surely as you live, my lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord granted me what I asked for of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there. As you can see, just reading through this passage and having heard a bit of my story now, there are a lot of comparisons between Hannah and I. Hannah and I both had things that weighed on our souls, deep longings. For me, it was not just for a child, but for change, for answers about the future. But for Hannah, she had a deep longing for a child. Both of us, in our stories, came to a place where we couldn't take it anymore, especially because we were being tormented by outside pressures. For Hannah, she had this horrible second wife that was tormenting her with the fact that she had, as the Bible clearly says, more than one son and one daughter, all her sons and daughters. So she had been blessed, and she took it to be her mission in life to make Hannah miserable about that. For me, it was days like Mother's Day when it came to wanting a child. Mother's Day was never a day we wanted to celebrate, except for our own moms, of course. It was also things like the fact that I have a younger brother who is married, and the minute they got married, they started having babies, and they didn't stop. They have four boys. So even though it wasn't Desiree's desire to torment me with that, the fact that it was so easy for her was difficult for us. As far as the future goes, there were other torments. You know, the pull of the ministry that Sherman was involved in was pulling me away from what I was doing, and yet I still loved what I was doing, and do I want to stay? Do I want to go? All these other torments. So both of us were tormented, making those burdens seem greater. Well, both, as I said, Hannah and I came to a place where we finally had to cry out to God and say, I can't take this anymore. And the Bible actually says that when Hannah was finished eating and drinking, she stood up as if to say, I can't take it anymore. Enough is enough. And she poured out her soul to the Lord. And that is definitely the place that I had come to, where we had nowhere else to turn. I didn't know what else to do. And in this case, I had tried to run away from it. But the Lord decided, no, it's time to deal with it. We'll deal with it now. For both of us, once we poured out our hearts to the Lord, we were given a sense of peace. Now, in these days, the Holy Spirit hadn't been given to his people yet. So the peace that she found, instead of coming from the Holy Spirit, came from Eli, who said to her, may the Lord grant you exactly what you're wanting. May he bless you. For me, it was the Holy Spirit just giving me that sense of peace and that joy that washed over me, knowing that even though I didn't know what was going to happen, he was still in control and it was going to be okay. And then in both cases, the Lord blessed. We don't know how long it took Hannah to conceive. It says that after the course of time, it could have been years, it could have been days, it could have been the next day. We have no idea, but the point is that he answered. He made good on his promise to her, and he gave her a son. For us, well, you'll hear the end of the story in a minute. And then both of us, Hannah making this promise the minute she asked for her son, dedicated him to the Lord for his work. And Sherman and I, as most parents do a baby dedication. We haven't done that here at the church yet, but we plan on doing that. But when we were home this Christmas, one of my brothers is a pastor, and as a family, since we were all together, he did that for us. And Hannah is actually the story, that he read. Well, what does this all mean for all of you? I realize that we have youth sitting here who have no intention at this point to be mommies or daddies yet, I hope. I hope you're thinking more about school. So obviously you have burdens on your heart about what your career path is going to be or if you're going to graduate. Some of you may be sitting here with midlife crisis kind of burdens. You know, I've been doing my job for 20 years and it's not giving me any satisfaction anymore. I don't know if I can take it anymore. Maybe you have burdens on your heart about children that aren't following the Lord or parents that aren't following the Lord, or an illness that has struck your family. All of us have come today with a burden resting on our soul. So how can these things apply to all of us? Well, the three things that I have learned from what I have been through, but also from the life of Hannah, are very simple. And the first one is this. It is okay to cry out to God. It is okay to be angry with him. It is okay to tell him, what you want. He is a big God, and he has big shoulders, and he wants to hear what you have to say. He wants to hear what your desires are. He already knows what your desires are. That's the ironic part. But he loves you, and he's a jealous God. He wants to hear what's going on in your head. He wants to hear how you feel about it. So if you have something weighing on you, let him know that. Let him know that. Unburden your soul to him. It's okay to do that. It's okay to be angry. The second thing that I have learned through all of this is that there is a peace that comes when you let go. To acknowledge that once you have given it and cried out to God and let him know how you feel about it, that he, if you truly trust him and let it go, will give you a peace. It doesn't mean that the answer is going to come right away. It may take years. But he will give you a peace while you wait. And the third thing, very simple, he will bless. it probably will not be the way you envisioned it. In fact, I guarantee it will not look the way you think it should look. But that's the great thing about God. He sees the big picture. He sees what you don't see. And whatever he does for you will be 10 times more amazing than anything that you could have dreamed for or asked for yourself. He will bless. He is faithful. Well, the end of my story. I promised that I would give it. I actually wrote this story on my blog and have had people all over the world find it for some reason. I don't know how they found it, but a comment on how amazed they are at how God answered for us. As I said, we left the Abbey with a renewed peace in our hearts, renewed joy for what was ahead, even though we didn't know what it was. And we headed home for an evening, probably of watching television or something. It was a Monday, so I don't know what it was. But Sherman went out onto the patio and turned the barbecue on and threw some burgers on the barbecue. And I ran upstairs to go to the bathroom for what felt like, honestly, the 100th time that day. I felt like all day I had been in the bathroom, and I didn't understand why. Well, while I was in the bathroom, I don't know what inspired me to do this. All I can say now when I look back on it was it was the Holy Spirit nudging me to do this, but I opened the cupboard in the bathroom, and in the cupboard was a pregnancy test. It probably had been there for a couple of years, because we had just gotten to that point where we just didn't even bother trying anymore. But I saw that there, and without even thinking, I grabbed it and I took the test. I, again, have no idea why I did that. I was not expecting a positive answer at all, but that's what we got. And I spent, no word of a lie, about half an hour sitting on our bed, staring at this test, trying to decide, what am I going to do? Do I really want this? Is this really what I want? This can't be right. This has got to be wrong. It's an old test. It's got to be wrong. Do I tell Sherman? Do I not tell Sherman? What do I do? This can't be right. Over and over and over in my head. And then I finally started to laugh. And I thought, okay, God, this is interesting. I thought this is what I wanted. But I let it go to you, and I had a peace, and now you've revealed to me what your plan is. Suddenly, the decisions I needed to make about my job, completely meaningless, because clearly I'm going to be going maternity leave. Suddenly, the desire, you know, do we adopt? Well, I don't need to adopt. We're apparently having a baby. So I finally got up the courage to run downstairs and tell Sherman, and he said that when I came into the living room, he honestly thought something was severely wrong. He thought maybe I had been on the phone. Maybe somebody had died because I was completely white and shaking. And I told him, I sat him down and I said, I need to tell you something. And he said, oh, okay, are you okay? And I'm like, no, I'm not okay. And he said, well, what is it? And I said, well, I think we're having a baby. Well, he jumped up and down with joy, big smile, laughing, crying. He was so excited. And I remember sitting there thinking, what is wrong with you? Why are you so excited? This wasn't supposed to go this way. You know, we just prayed about this today. How can this answer be here now? I'm not ready for this now. We've been married for 10 years. It doesn't matter. I'm not ready for it yet. But he was so excited. Well, it honestly took me 9 months to get used to the idea. But the point is that God answered. He had a plan all along. He knew my adventure already. All he needed for me was to wait on him, to let go of what I thought I wanted, and to let him be God. And then he showed me his plan for me. And you have all met her. She's standing at the back with her daddy. And her name is Abby, Abigail Joy. We named her Abigail because it means a father's joy. She is her daddy's joy, obviously, because that was his reaction the minute he found out she was coming. Not that she's not my joy, it just took me longer to get there. But we also hope that someday she will be a true joy to her father, her heavenly father. And when we had her dedicated, our prayer for her is the same as what Hannah prayed, that God would use her. She is his. He gave her to us, and she is his. So whether we have her for a year or for 50 years, she is his. The point of all of this is to cry out to the Lord with what you have on your heart. Do you sit here today with something that's weighing on your mind? Do you sit here today with unanswered questions? Or a deep longing for something that is missing in your life? If that's the case, then let it go and let him be God. He is a big God, and he has an amazing plan for you. Scary plan, sometimes hard to believe plan, but a good plan. He is God, and he will do it. Why don't we pray together before the kids come up here and bless us? Dear Holy Father, we thank you so much for your love and your grace. God, we thank you that you already know the adventure that you have us on. You know all the details. You are in control. And God, I pray that if we are here today with burdens on our hearts, that you will give us the freedom to let go and let you be God today and look forward to your blessings. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Shari, for sharing such a heartfelt message this morning. You know, before we invite the preschool kids to come up and you know, do a presentation for us, you know, I want to give us a bit of time to kind of reflect a little bit about her story. Maybe you can relate a little bit. Maybe it spurs some thoughts in your mind. So I'm just going to invite the guitarist, perhaps, or the pianist, either one. Maybe just play In Your Arms. And, you know, just if you want to sing along, but, you know, just let the words minister to you this morning and then reflect a little bit on the message, and then we'll invite the kids to come on in. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, that we can be in your arms of love today. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the work that you've done in Hannah's life. And Lord, we just saw how she was able to be real with you and be able to cry out the longing of her heart. And Lord, when she did that, Lord, you answered her. Father God, I pray today that if there are longings in our hearts, that Lord, we may be able to cry out to you, to be real with you. And Lord, that you will hear us and you will answer. So, Father God, I pray again, let us always be able to be in your arms of love. May your spirit be with us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. At this time, we're going to invite the preschool kids and kindergarten class to come and share a special Mother's Day presentation this morning. Give them a huge welcome.
Okay, guys.
I think they're a little shy right now. Charlotte. So, Auntie Charlotte, would you like to introduce your class? And what song they'll be singing with us this morning?
Okay, thank you. Hi, good morning. Our preschool and kindergarten classes would like to sing two songs in celebration of Mother's Day. The first one is He is Lord, and the second one is I'm in the Lord's Army. Thank you.